Now more of the guys. Merloni and Fourier on WEEI.
Bill, did you give any consideration to going for it in overtime? I think it was 4th and 3.
No, not really. I mean, it's, you know, with Zerline, his field goal range, they play on a pretty short field there, so you know that when you're talking about one first down could probably beat you there. So, no, not really.
Oh, no, not really. Bill Belichick is going to hand the ball off to a team that drove the ball 5 times down the field. The only time, the reason why they didn't score in one of them is because it was a missed field goal. No, never think of that. Ben Volen, Boston Globe. What up, Ben?
Yo, Lou, I think I saw you in the post-game show last night.
With A-Rod?
You were standing in the background, chanting F-U A-Rod.
Screaming F-U
A-Rod. I think I saw you back there.
You know what? I believe it.
I might have walked by and just kind of like partook in the chants.
You started the J-Lo chant.
I might have. I wouldn't have done the Ben Affleck's better, though. I wouldn't have done that one. I wouldn't have done that.
So, Ben, also.
But Ben, you wrote an article today about one Bill Belichick and kind of what he just talked about not going for it. Was that kind of like, it seemed like a big takeaway for you? I know there's a lot of stuff going on in that game, but that was a big takeaway.
Yeah, and it's the same thing that we talked about 2 weeks ago after the Bucs game, too. It's, you know, once again, Bill Belichick not showing the faith and confidence in his offense, and it's like he's thinking about everything that could go wrong instead of focusing on everything that can go right. And I got an article up now on BostonGlobe.com. I tried to take a deeper dive into Bill Belichick's decisions on fourth down, and they have second fewest fourth downs attempt in the league. Do you realize they only have three? They've only gone for it on fourth down 3 times this year, and all 3 were in the final 2 minutes of that Saints game where they're down by 2 touchdowns. So they pretty much had to go. So during the normal course of a game, they have yet to go for it on fourth down.
See, I thought it was interesting when you brought up some quotes from 2009, right? Wasn't that the Indianapolis?
That was, but, yeah, 4th and 2.
Was it even in camp that he was talking about? Like, we're not afraid to go for it?
I'm not going to be afraid to go for it. And then he, after the big decision, he's like, I'm never going to apologize for being aggressive. And throughout the first decade of his run, when you were here, Christian, maybe you were the reason they were so aggressive, but they were consistently top 10 in fourth down attempts. They were consistently one of the more aggressive teams in the league. Now the kind of the fourth down revolution has spread across the league. The last 3 years have set a new record for fourth down attempts, and Belichick's going the other way. He's getting more conservative. They're now 30th in the league, and they're not going for it on fourth down. And in today's NFL, playing for field position just is not, it's not the same as it used
to be. So let me ask you, why do you think, do you really think it's because he's scared? Or do you believe there's a bigger reason why?
I think he's
just nervous Nelly back there, is afraid to pull the trigger.
Yes, with what they've got on offense, I think he's nervous. And I think some of it is Mac Jones, but it's really just about the entire operation with an offensive line where they're playing musical chairs right now. And they don't have James White and all these new faces and guys who they're not sure are going to be in the right spot at the right time. So I think Belichick is nervous about sending his operation out there in a key spot.
So he doesn't have trust and faith. There's a constant turnover on his offensive line. He doesn't have the right backs. He doesn't have the right personnel. So I would say somebody who would make those decisions, even with the answers in front of him that it's not possible and the percentages are not good that he will make it, I don't think is scared. I think a guy that does that is stupid and reckless and is hoping that he's just going to get lucky, like the other team isn't ready for it. So you know what I mean? Like, so on one hand, I can understand, you know, coaches like David Culley, all right, a couple weeks ago when they played, like, he was going for it no matter what. And I didn't think he should have, but
although
he was like,
that one
he was
time
like,
he passed it up and let that kid kick a 56-yard field goal.
My point is that, like, he's all over the place. He's just, you know what, screw it. We're not good enough. We got to keep going. Hopefully we'll get lucky and, like, you know, lightning will strike and something good will happen from it. So I don't necessarily think he's a chicken. I think he's just, obviously, careful.
What about
can happen?
Against Tampa Bay, it's like 4th and 2 in the other team's territory. And instead of asking Mac Jones to go pick up 2 yards, you're taking a 5-yard penalty and punting away. It's like, my point is,
can you not see it? I don't think it is.
I think you're asking them to pick up 2 or 3 yards.
Your courage is predicated on the people you have backing you up. Back in the first 10 years, okay, I was there. You can trust me. I'm going to come through for you. No, my point is,
I'm pretty sure it had something to do with the quarterback.
Obviously, you had a really smart quarterback. But you did have a veteran offensive line. You had a bunch of smart players, and you could trust. There was a history of them, you know, doing it and having faith in them, calling the most basic of plays. So, I it's easy to call them a chicken because I was doing it yesterday. But then, you know, when you dive deeper into it, you go, geez, would I do the same thing? Because all it does is turn a bad situation into a terrible situation. Especially, look what happened to Buffalo. Look at Buffalo last night. Like, so they force it, they panic, and then they do a quarterback sneak. And Josh Allen ends up kind of slipping, and he basically just falls down, and the game is over.
Right,
they
so
lose.
It wasn't the decision; it was the execution.
But that's my point is, but you have to have faith in your execution. I would bet on the Buffalo Bills to get that right. But my faith on these guys, they can't block anybody, Ben. They can't pick up stunts. The tackles are getting their ass kicked. The backs can't block. The receivers can't block. Like, they're jumping off sides all the time. Like, you want me to go for it on fourth down? Like, no freaking way.
Yeah, but Christian, we talked about this yesterday. If you're playing the Jets or Houston, I get it. But you're playing this team. You got to overtime. You had no right being in overtime. You had no right. That was a very talented team that did everything in their power to hand you the football game. Two turnovers in a red zone, one right at the goal line, first and goal. Give yourself credit for, you know, first three. I get it. Forcing fourth down. But, you know, and then you look at, 12 penalties. Like, they did everything. So you're sort of sitting there in overtime going, all right, well, we have no right being here. You know what I mean? And we haven't stopped this offense
the last five drives.
So why don't we just go for it and see if we can end this football game?
Yeah, because playing for field position has not been working for them. I went back and I looked at every fourth down play they've had this year. 10 of them could be considered fourth and short, 3 yards or less. 3 of them were obvious calls. You're obviously going to kick the field goal at the end of the game, at the end of the half, whatever. So there have really been 7 decisions. He's kicked it every single time, all 7 times, playing for field position or going for the field goal against Tampa. And all 7 times it backfired. The team came right back down the field and had a scoring opportunity. So what's the point of playing for field position if you're not going to take advantage of that field position?
See, the other one, too, is it's not just about the fourth down. We talked this before with, you know, first and 10 from the 25 with, what, a minute and a half to go in the half. You know, and you just run Harris and then kneel on it, right? So and this is something that, you know, we all been talking for years how he likes to double dip at the end of the first half, beginning of the
season. He invented that.
Yeah, you know, well, how's the last 3 years gone with that? Because it wasn't just the last two. It's been Brady's last year. He started doing it. It's been 3 years now where Bill Belichick gets the ball with a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go at your own 25, and he shuts it down for 3 years. So this used to be a philosophy of his, but how long before we sit there and say it's no longer his philosophy? Being aggressive on fourth down, being aggressive at the end of the first half when you got to go maybe 50 yards to kick a field goal. I don't know. Like, so it's to me, it's,
I know,
like,
but just to be devil's advocate, though, in this situation. So
with this team.
We've seen teams, like, this is not a very good team. That's just it. They got a Hall of Fame coach, but they're not a good team. They don't have great personnel offensively. So I would say that when I see, you know, like the Jets or the Jaguars or, you know, these teams that they can't get out of their own way, try to force the issue and play field position and change their philosophy because they're not going to get a lot of chances. They may not get the ball back. And then the quarterback ends up tripping. The center snaps it too early. The guard jumps offside. They fumble the exchange. Somebody isn't blocked. The guy runs the wrong route. That is all I'm saying, because I can easily see myself in these coaches' meeting rooms, okay, and then listening to the coaches with the film saying, we can't run any of this stuff. Like, take it out. I mean, like, we have, you know how many plays we have taken out? I'm just saying, like it's like we've taken out on a Friday because we've repped it 3 to 4 times, and somebody always screws it up. Well, if you can't do it in practice, we can't do it in a game. So they just remove that from the equation. Now, I do understand and believe, like, based on your circumstances, you can't afford to be passive. You're not going to play a team like Dallas again where they're going to give you 12 penalties for like 115 yards. It's not going to happen every time. They should have blown you out by 30 points when I think about all the opportunities they had, but they didn't. So, I don't know. Listen, I love the fact that you crunched all the numbers, but when I was thinking about it, I was like, if you look at it a different way, like if he was doing this and missing those opportunities, you would say what? If he was going for it and they kept failing, you would say what?
I promise you right now, I will never criticize Belichick for being too aggressive, for going for it on fourth down and failing. I will never do that because I think it's the right thing to do. I think the numbers back it up. And I think it puts confidence in your offense. to your point that it's a young group, all these new pieces, they haven't done it before. Don't you think it would be, you know, like reinforcing for them?
It'd sure.
be, you know, confidence building. Hey, you know what? Go out there. Go pick up this 4th and 2. We trust in you. I know we're on our own 45-yard line, but I think we can get 3 yards. Tampa's down to their, fourth cornerback or whatever. I think this group could use the confidence, not to mention, I think it's the right thing to do.
That's a good point. We'll take a break here. On the other side, I want to get more into that a little bit as far as what this team can do. Can he afford to play this conservative with this group? You know, is he trying to be smart, or is it backfiring? We'll get more into that as well as Ben's thoughts on what he thought from Mac Jones after this game here. We'll do it all. It's coming up next with Maloney and Fourier with Ben Volen.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
2nd and 15. The throw, and it's intercepted. He's got it. And he's got a field ahead of him. Diggs is going to take it to the end zone. Unbelievable.
Jones. Deep ball. And
somehow they blew the coverage. It's Bourne to the end zone. One play later, the Patriots strike magic.
Interesting few plays there for the Patriots on Sunday. Mac Jones throwing a pick six, and then coming right back, Kendrick Bourne, 75-yard touchdown pass. Ultimately, you lose this one in overtime. Ben Volen joining the MFers here today. One thought on something we were talking about quick, and discussing Bill Belichick's approach. We talked for years about Bill doesn't go out and try to lose games, right? And let other teams lose games. And that approach has worked because they usually execute. You know, they're good on special teams. You know, defensively, they'll confuse a quarterback, get a pick. They'll make big plays. I don't think he's got the team that can afford to do that anymore. They're the ones that are getting punch blocked. They're the ones that at times are committing too many penalties and turning the ball over. Like, the approach has to change with this group. You can't sit back and wait for teams to lose. Your team's doing a good job of that. You got to be more aggressive.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. It seems like he's coaching as if he still has Brady. And he still has that number one defense from 2019, but he doesn't. He has a rookie quarterback and a young offense that I think needs some encouragement and some confidence. And I think a good defense, but just not an elite defense. Like I said, 7 times they've kind of chosen field position over going for it this year. And all 7 times the team's been able to come back the other way and have a touchdown or a field goal opportunity.
Yeah, that's not good.
So, yeah, I mean, playing for field position just isn't as viable in today's NFL because offenses are so good. You got to be aggressive, and you got to start going for it.
See, I feel like I had this discussion a couple years ago with Glenn
Am I playing the role of Glenn now?
Yes. Just keep interrupting me and never actually have an opinion. always be on the fence. I love you, Glenn.
I kind of misinterrupted you.
No, I know. No, let's not.
I like
get
it
back
better this
ways.
Way.
Let's not get back to those.
I like it better.
So,
this way.
What was it? It was the Los Angeles Rams were playing. I think Minnesota. Anybody help me with this? Remember when it was like, it was like 55 points score. It was like 45 to 50, something crazy.
Rams Chiefs, right?
Rams Chiefs, okay. Yeah. And I remember like, this is the wave of the NFL.
New NFL.
No, it isn't. It's just, it was an outlier. And sure, everyone wants to go fast. But there's still always going to be, I think, like a baseline of what teams try to do. And there's always going to be a team that is stacked with talent like Dallas or Kansas City or, Tampa. But the rest of the teams are kind of stuck in the mud and hoping they can do that. And if they take those chances because they're desperate or because they're stupid.
All right, so we
no response to that one.
You really
no
left that one hanging there.
I did.
Because it's not
hit it like a cement mixer.
That's the point, though, is it's not reckless or stupid. The math backs the decisions, especially on like
see the math
fourth
is
and two,
I don't think the
three.
Math is actually a, I feel like
it's
you
like
would,
tricky math
you
it's like
need
Sal
to
Pal
like
math.
You yeah that was a blast from the past.
Yeah.
you would need to tell me, okay, if you get this number, who are they working with, like who what players are actually do they have to call those plays? I think that
you're right, the
that's
math
gotta
exists,
play something
it
play
exists
a part
in a vacuum
it.
No question,
yes,
it doesn't
right?
factor in the individual players on the field, no question. But again, I still think this is the NFL. You have to have some confidence that you're not just going to trip over your feet on every play. And, you know what? Hey, fourth and two, midfield. Go out there and get the first down instead of us taking a five-yard penalty and punting away and then the other team crossing where we were anyway within three plays. I think Mac Jones, this offense, just need a little boost of confidence. Show them that you have some faith in them.
So I want to get to Mac Jones real quick because we talked to him on Monday, and he made a comment to us on how much he likes to get hit because all the great ones get up. And we were like, yeah, I hope he realizes that, you know, not every quarterback does get up, you know, when you start taking these hits, which brings me to the offensive line. So what we talk about, you know, issues with this football team can be fixed. Can that offensive line be fixed?
It's going to be tough, and they don't have the wizard Dante Scarnecchia, and they don't have the right personnel right now. Trent Brown is still hurt. They're still playing backups, and Isaiah Wynn has been, I would argue, awful. The biggest disappointment on the team this year. It's like they guaranteed his salary for next year, and all of a sudden he's just completely gone in the tank. So this is a team that does have a history of figuring things out at the offensive line, but usually Dante Scarnecchia is the one involved. He's not gone. They have Carmen Brasillo. He's been their offensive line coach for a few years. I just some of it's on Mac Jones too, and I think the growing pains you have with a rookie quarterback where he doesn't see things before the snap like Tom Brady does, and he might be a little bit of a statue. But at the same time, those two sacks the other day were not his fault. That was Randy Gregory just, you know, completely plowing through your offensive line and embarrassing those guys and planting your quarterback in the ground. So I do think they can improve some, but this is not Tom Brady back there anymore, you know, kind of winning the down before the snap. And Mac Jones, yeah, he's going to take some hits this year.
I think he's actually almost like a savant back there when it comes to, for his age. It's like a really good, one of those young chess players that you see in the park, and they're just beating all the old men.
He's
hitting the clock. I think his pre-snap awareness, I think his understanding of where everybody needs to go is really uncanny, based on my understanding of how that offense works and all the responsibilities for different personnel groupings and positions. And his anticipation is excellent. Like the touchdown pass to Hunter Henry, some of the throws are just, they're just so, like, you know, mature level, you know, fifth year in the league type guy.
See, I was saying yesterday with Mac Jones, his play, right? Like how he has played this year, and his football team is 2-4, and the only teams they've beaten are Houston and the Jets. And it's the most important position in sports, definitely in football. But yet you've got a quarterback that's pretty much doing what he's being asked to do. So it's like the quarterback play doesn't match the record of how this team's been playing.
No, the whole point of this year was Mac's going to be a rookie. He's going to make his mistakes, but we're going to beef up. We're going to have a top five offensive line. We're going to have a great defense. We're going to have good pieces around him, and they're going to carry Mac, and he's just going to have to do his job and not screw it up, and we're going to be able to win some games, whereas Mac has been one of your better players, and the pieces around him are the ones making all the mistakes. So the whole plan is kind of falling to pieces here just because the talent around Mac is not it has not gotten, you know, collectivized into a group yet.
All right, let's go up to the island here. Let's go to Steve in Nantucket. Steve, what's up, buddy?
Hey.
How are you?
You guys are talking about good. How are you?
Good, man.
Beautiful day here.
Oh, fantastic.
You guys were talking about fourth down plays and stuff. The only fourth down play that ever worked for them was Brady jumping over the line, in my opinion. And
quarterback
all the
sneak.
Rest of them were like, what's that?
The quarterback sneak you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the only fourth down play that ever worked for the Patriots.
I don't know. And that's factually correct.
Tell me. I mean, all the rest of them are like set up to fail. I run up the middle, right where all the.
Well, here's the thing,
are.
Steve. Isn't it? Wouldn't you say it's true that you only remember the ones that don't work? Like fourth and three against the Colts. You know what I mean? Like those stand out when it doesn't work. Like in the game, you get it. You just sort of move on. You're like, nice job.
Yeah, but the ones I remembered that failed were all, you know, poor design plays. They were, you know, set up to fail. The pass out to what's his name in the flats was, you know, he dropped it. And
I don't remember.
He's talking about Kevin Falk.
Kevin Falk,
which I thought was a good play.
Let me get one more here. Yeah, let me get one more. Let's go to Dylan in Rhode Island before we go to break. Dylan, go ahead, pal. You're up.
Kevin Falk.
Hey, so. You guys were mentioning how, you know, the Pats aren't aggressive enough. We're not good. We don't have the talent to, like, afford to let other teams make mistakes. We need to go after it to try to win the game. What do you guys think about the Pats, like, you know, at the end of the first half, where there's, like, a minute and a half or whatever left, instead of, like, driving down the field and trying to get a field goal, make us have, like, a touchdown lead, we just knee it, you know, a couple times and then go to halftime.
I don't like it.
That could have been the difference at the end of the game.
Absolutely. It's another example of Belichick thinking about everything that could go wrong instead of what could go right.
They had one timeout. Dallas had one timeout.
And well, the Patriots had none, to be fair.
Right, but I'm just saying they had one left. Patriots had none?
They used their three timeouts in that goal line stand.
Why?
So again, you're using...
Why'd you use them?
You're using your timeouts to stop the clock, and then you get the ball back, and then you do nothing with it.
Yeah, so it's like you use your timeouts to stop the clock, and then when you get the ball back, you sort of kneel on it. We have to stop talking that Bill Belichick loves the double score. We really do. I mean, they did it with Brady 3 years ago. It's been 3 years. They punt at the end of the half. Because maybe they have we have the ball. Well, Bill, for years you've had the ball at halftime. You've always pushed the envelope at the end of the first half.
Even more reason to go for it.
I mean, even more reason. All right, listen, when we come back, I want to talk about this defense a little bit. We stayed away from 567 yards, I believe. I think that was the number. Ty Law was on with Greg Hill this morning. Had some interesting thoughts on this defense. You'll hear what he had to say. That's next on Maloney and Fourier with Ben Bowen. Are the Patriots treating Mac Jones like Blake Bortles? What year was that, Tyler? I know you're a big Jags guy.
That was the 17 season, but the 2018 AFC Championship.
If you remember this, AFC Championship, this is from that game afterwards. With 55 seconds left before halftime, the Patriots kicked off to the Jaguars, trailing 14-10. After a touchback, Jacksonville brought the ball to 25-yard line, two timeouts remaining, and proceeded to kneel twice as time expired. They're up 14-10 at half. It's Blake Bortles, right? You don't trust him. According to ESPN Stats and Info, no other team that season had knelt with that much time left.
Well, I remember that game.
Now, they had two timeouts left, but we've sort of seen them treat this team the same way, honestly, the last 3 years. We even saw them do it with Brady because they didn't trust the offense. And it's just, I hate it. I hate it. And we have to stop talking about Bill loves the double score because he doesn't do it.
It's the middle eight.
He doesn't do it. All right, Ty Law was actually, we talked about this defense. Ty Law was on the Greg Hill show, and he was sort of questioning. You see a guy like Trayvon Diggs out there, the rookie, with seven picks now and just has that kind of swag out in the field. Ty Law was talking about that, comparing it to this Patriots team.
Belichick, and I've always said it, when he's screaming at me, Ty, do this, I'm like, I hear him, but I don't hear him. I'm going to tell you the truth. I used to ignore the hell out of Belichick all the time because guess what? You can't come out on the field and get me. You come out here and sit your ass and cover Randy Moss. I ain't trying to hear what you're talking about right now. That's what you got to do. You have to have that attitude and go out there and play the game. So Belichick can call a great game, but if you don't have the personnel to go out there and execute, or if you don't have the swag to look over at the head coach and say and wave your hand at him and say, oh, go to hell and go out and do your job, there's a problem, because that's what we had on the defenses that I was a part of and some of our great defenses. Do you think Teddy Bruschi, every time that Romeo Crennel or Coach Belichick called a play, do you think Teddy Bruschi said, okay, we're going to do that one? 95% of the time he did, but it was sometime he would look out there, he would see I was tired. He'll ask us what we want, and Teddy Bruschi as a leader say, you know what, we'll deal with it when we get back on the sideline. We're going to call this play. We were going to stick together no matter what. So who's going to take the blame? It's like would y'all see that? What was that movie with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence?
Life.
When they was like, of course, you know, who's the baby? That. And everybody stepped up.
Yeah.
It's I, Bo.
I'm the pappy.
I'm the pappy, Bo.
I need a paw. That little rascal will be mine.
That's how we was on our defense.
I tell you what, Ty Law's hysterical on that morning show, man. He is hysterical. Every Tuesday you hear him. But he's just talking about that sort of leadership. I don't feel like there's a person on this team that would go against something Bill tells you to do.
Well, so what,
let alone a coach. It's a bunch of whatever it is you like.
Christian, whatever you like.
Christian, what would happen if they call in from the side? Yeah, we're gonna play cover four on this, and Hightower says, no, we're gonna. He tells the guys, no, we're not running cover four. We're gonna run cover one, and I'm gonna blitz. What do you think would happen?
I don't
guys?
Know. I mean, you wouldn't be on the field anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you? You're just going to sit there and hide the whole time?
Because I've heard that before from many, many people about Ty doing his own thing.
See, that's him as far as bump and run. And he's a corner, so he improvises and he adapts and he has his own little game plan for the receiver. It's not that he doesn't know what's going on. You're talking about changing an entire coverage based on, like, I'm tired. I think they used to have this one thing called hand. So I think that's what it was. They would just, if the call wasn't right or if they weren't sure about what was going on or if somebody was tired, it was like your basic coverage slash front. Everybody knew what to do. It was kind of like a generic call that kind of covered everything that they could do. You know, it wasn't like being aggressive blitzing. It was just a safe call where, hey, it's too late. He's going to quick snap it, hands. Everybody knew what to do. Like, to me, I see that being part of it. But, you know, hey, you know, like, Teddy's just going to go and say, no, no, no. I feel like we should do a blitz zone. And I feel like I should play safety.
So you don't buy it.
I would punch you in the face if I was there right now.
So you don't buy it.
No, no, I do. I do. Listen, he improvises. The, like, that's what he does.
The
I'm
better
not
question,
denying
though,
it.
Like, I'm just saying, when you look at this team, it just, it does. It, and listen, Bill's, you know, the greatest coach in the league. There's no question about it. One of the greatest of all time. So, and he's Bill Belichick. But doesn't it feel like he's just got, like, yes men everywhere? Including coaches that are in their first year, second year, new players, rookies that aren't afraid, that are afraid to even say their name.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question that I think is worthy of a deep dive. I mean, half the guys on the coaching staff are either named Belichick or Lombardi, you know, or friends of his buddies, or are former Patriots like, yeah, Troy Brown and Gerard Mayo. You know, other than Matt Patricia, who's kind of a toady, and Josh McDaniels, there aren't too many people who can talk back to Bill. So, I mean, I do think that's an interesting topic worth exploring, but I don't think the defense was as bad as the numbers say. I mean, obviously 567 yards, 35 points. That's not good, but I put it on the offense. The offense could not stay on the field, and the defense was absolutely gassed. You know, 80, I think it was 89 plays with penalties. The offense, I think they had 11 possessions. Only one possession went more than five plays all game. So four plays and out, three plays and out, all throughout the game, putting the defense back on. And you could tell the game plan from the defense was get back. They had McCourty playing 25 yards off the ball. It was a lot of zone coverage. It was get back, take away the big play. And they gave up a lot of underneath stuff. And I think you have to give a lot of credit to Dak and the Cowboys. They made big plays with the underneath catch and run stuff. But I don't think the defense was that bad. I think it's on the offense for not sustaining drives.
Well, I think that was the design, to your point, like the whole week. Like, don't worry about the yards. Like, don't get caught up in the scoreboard. Oh, my God, 300 yards. This thing. They were really good on third down, at least the Patriots defense was. I think they were 3-for-13, the Cowboys were. But they weren't in a – but that's to me, is a little deceiving, too. But yards didn't matter. Points did. You know, turnovers did, and I think they were 2-for-5 or something like that in the red zone, right?
Yeah.
That right?
Yeah.
Including a goal line stand. Like, they had a goal line stand. The Cowboys had the ball on the 1-yard line, and they couldn't score with four opportunities.
Yeah.
And they had another pass that was broken up on a third down play down in the right corner. Jonathan Jones knocked it away. Like, that to me is, that is a win all day. To your point, though, but the offense never gave them a break. The special teams put them in a terrible position. The offense put them in a terrible position. They gave you turnovers. They gave you opportunities. You didn't pay it up. You didn't pay it up. Like, you just kind of like just squandered it away. And then you go back on the field again.
No, listen, I think this defense, like those two turnovers, to me that wasn't like the Jets. I felt like those four interceptions against the Jets, I almost didn't really give the defense much credit to that. You know, I just looked at like Zach Wilson. You're like, where are you? What are you doing? You know, but that first interception, who was the guy that jumped into Duggar interception? Who, somebody popped it.
Bethel.
Yeah, very nice play, right? Knocked it free, it was nice. And Bentley, I mean, the fourth and goal, you know, going for the ball. So that was things that they created. But they did move the ball right down. I know they're 3-for-13 on defense. But they had, what, 32 first downs?
Yeah.
So they weren't even getting the third. No. They were getting the third down only third of the time. It was first down, you know, first down, second down, first downs, all the time.
But like, I mean, can I say, I came away from that game on Sunday with just the biggest man crush on Dak Prescott. I could see the thought bubble above Belichick's head on the sideline. Like, I'm trying everything against this guy, and nothing is working. They were blitzing 8. They were dropping 8. They were trying to keep him contained, trying to flush him out of the pocket. He made play after play. He's in the short conversation for MVP. He's an unbelievable. He reminds me, he's the new Ben Roethlisberger. A few years ago, Ben was slinging it 5,000 yards. He was a big guy. Not the most mobile quarterback, but you couldn't get him down, and he could make plays improvising. To me, that's what Dak is now, and he's just awesome. And I think a lot of it, you just have to give credit to him and that Cowboys offense.
Well, let's go to Ron. I believe he's in the car. Ron, go ahead. You're on with the MFers in Volan. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. First off, I just want to apologize because I've been on the other show, and I feel like I've been missing out on life. I feel like I owe you guys an apology for that one.
Hey, Ron, okay. You know what? Hey, sorry. Just it takes
welcome
time.
To the party.
Sometimes you wise up as you get a little bit older, Ron. Don't worry about it.
Hey, Ryan, let's add 8. Let's add it so we have 8 listeners now. That is 8. Thank you.
Where's my pen?
Ron, you're number 8.
I feel like I'm in the initial top 10. There we go.
Yeah,
I feel like Belichick operates in this circle of trust aspect where I feel like we don't go for the double dip or the fourth down plays because of this trust. And it frustrates me the most because the ones he that's like the bend but don't break, because he doesn't trust the situation at hand to be aggressive. And the ones that he does trust are the ones that make you want to rip your hair out. Like, if I see Brandon Bolden run another third and short and get stuffed at the line of scrimmage, and you're wondering, like, well, Damian Harris or, you know, Ramondre is running with their head down, like, and Bolden runs with his chest out, like, just kind of look and fall for the first, like, it's that trust factor where he doesn't let Mac Jones spread the ball because he doesn't trust the situation, or going for the, you know, I got two timeouts in 50 seconds at the end of the half. Let's try to do something. Punting in overtime was embarrassing. If you thought, any Patriots fan thought in that moment in time that you were going to hold Dallas to punt the ball back to you, was it absolutely lunacy.
See, I agree. See, thanks, Ron.
Ron,
see,
I agree. Thanks for
see,
the call.
That, is, that has been, that is my opinion as far as, okay, circumstances should dictate how risky you should be. Like, because that to me is, I mean, people keep using Indianapolis 4th-and-2, but like, didn't you they had 5 drives. They kept scoring. They kept moving the ball. The only time they didn't score was when they missed a field goal.
But
you had no business. You were not going to stop them. And then the fact that you got you won the coin toss and you got the ball back, and then Aguilar drops the ball, but then Jacoby Myers actually makes up for it. He makes an unbelievable catch. And then you go to Aguilar again on 3rd down, and he mistimes the back shoulder throw. Like, so you sit there and go, I can't run anything.
Ben Aguilar could have ended that game.
Yeah, although it's hard to see the center fielder. He's kind of get lost in the low.
You're right.
Worst case, they're at the 30.
We could have tackled them, but there's also like one move to be made. Yeah. Go to the sidelines and not run.
He had a running start.
It was a big drop.
The safety was on his heels.
But you know, the guys, Ron's just talking about like the bend but don't break. And again, that goes back to like Bill's philosophy of like, we're not going to lose the game. The other team will. And the bend but don't break is sort of like make them go up and down the field. Eventually, on a 3rd-and-1, there'll be a drop pass. Or there'll be one bad pass. Or there'll be an interception. Or we'll make the big play. There'll be a hold. There'll be a sack. It's almost like waiting for the other team to screw up. That's what bend but don't break is.
And that strategy works when you have the greatest clock management quarterback and game situation quarterback of all time.
But it also
in Tom
works
Brady.
When you have better playmakers on defense. You know what I mean? Like, Gilmore's not there anymore. Like, Judon's your guy. You know what I mean? And he was quiet. As Christian said, we didn't even see him, really.
He was dropping in coverage more than anything.
Can we talk about the fact that they gave up 445 yards passing and still traded Gilmore for a can of soup?
Yeah.
I mean, what's that all about? Couldn't he use that guy this year?
Yeah, I don't get it. Let's go to Doug in Western Mass. Doug, go ahead.
Well, thanks for taking my call. First of all, as far as Gilmore is concerned, what else is he going to do? The guy's not going to play. He's not going to play. He got what he could for him, and he got him out of his division.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
Could have waited 2 weeks.
Could have paid him. Could have given him some money.
Yeah. Could have.
Has Belichick ever paid a player over 30 premium money? I don't recall it, and I've been watching teams since I was like 10. I can remember thinking to myself, geez, this Steve Brogan's pretty good, but maybe we get something better. Okay, so I've been around a long time and watched the team like that, and I don't know why you guys are so surprised about Belichick punts. He's a defensive coach, guys. Come on.
Okay, but he used to be aggressive. He used to be one of the more aggressive coaches in the NFL.
He's doing the same thing he's done every time he started to develop something new. He's taking his time. He always hasn't done it.
You've got to go back to 20 years.
I don't think there has ever been a time where Belichick is, you know, active impulsively.
Like in the Super Bowl with like a rookie quarterback with like no time left in the clock in a tie game?
Oh, come on. Was that impulsive? He had faith in his team.
That's what he does when he develops a young quarterback. He had a quarterback his first year in the league, and the Super Bowl went for it, Doug.
Now, at that point, it was the end of the season. A guy he wanted to put in instead of his high-priced quarterback, all right? He already said that, you know what, I really wanted to put Brady in instead of, you know, my high-paid starter, but I didn't.
So you like Bill just punting against Dallas. Okay, all right.
I mean, what's the point?
Thanks
though?
For
you're a sub-500 team. You've got a rookie quarterback. What's the point of playing for field position, especially when your defense isn't?
I mean, it's a tie ball game. We're sitting here about the development of a young quarterback. How about this? Let's develop him. Let's throw him in the fire. He's playing as a rookie. It's not easy for this kid. But let's go. Like let's go. Take the training wheels off a little bit. 4th-and-3. Well, or does he want to protect this kid? You know, or does he want everybody, if it fails, to be talking about his decision? Or Nick Folk's missed field goal? Or his decision to kick a field goal? Rather than talk about the kid not executing a 4th-and-3 and maybe making a bad pass and talking about Mac Jones not being able to handle it. Is he protecting him that way?
Well, see, usually it's the opposite. Usually when the coach opts to kick instead of go for it, the coach is covering his own ass because, well, you can blame the punt or the defense didn't hold up. But, whereas if they fail on fourth down, what are you, stupid? Why'd you go for it?
Well, if they go for it, I'm just saying, if they go for it at the end of the first half and he throws a pick, you know, and you're no longer leading at halftime, you know what I mean? Because it's whatever, it's 14-10, whatever that score was at the time. And all of a sudden now it's 17-14. And it's like, oh, yeah, rookie quarterback made a huge mistake. No, if I just sort of kneel on it, no one's talking about my rookie quarterback. We get the ball back. You know, fourth and four, we were talking about my decision to kick the field goal. Nick Folk missed the field goal. No one's talking about the fact that he threw another batted ball at the goal, at the line of scrimmage like he did on third and three to, whatever it was, Jacoby Myers. I think it was wide open. So there's no discussion of that. So is that part of it?
I don't think so. I just think Belichick doesn't have any faith in a rookie quarterback being protected by a backup offensive line. And so he's coaching scared. He's coaching conservatively. And that's fine if you had a great elite defense that was capitalizing on these punts and this field position. But every single time they do, the team comes right back and gets a scoring opportunity.
I was going to say, so when it comes to, let's take the Patriots' next opponent. Let's take the Jets and Zach Wilson. The reason why that guy is the way they look the way they do is because he'll run for safety. Like, he'll run out of the pocket and he'll create some plays, but it's not out of design. It's not because, and so he forces the issue. He takes chances that he shouldn't. He's thrown 9 interceptions. They have 10 on the year. They have one win. The only team they beat is the Tennessee Titans, which is amazing. But you think about it, imagine if you had like that guy in this system, would you be as trustworthy with him? Would we be talking about calm him down, settle him down, don't let him run? I feel like there's some, I guess, confusion as far as what they really want him to do. Like they because I feel like they're letting him do. I feel like the offense has opened up now. Personally. He had 4 passes of 20 yards or more. Ooh, how about that? Finally throwing the football down the field. He's throwing short. He's throwing deep. He's taking hits. Like, what else do you want him to do? Like, do you feel like he's been, like, they're holding him back still?
I don't feel like they're holding him back maybe play to play, but they're holding him back by not going for it on fourth
down.
Okay,
but that's different, though. That's not him saying, he can't throw the ball in the end zone. You say, well, they bring out a wildcat. That means they don't trust him. I would say they need wrinkles. They need different looks. They're called special plays. It's the last 3 pages in your playbook. So that's not the way they would normally live.
Well, by calling wildcat, I think they're telling us we feel like we need gimmicks to get the ball into the end zone.
Well, look how many trick plays they've called. I don't even know if he has any left.
Yeah,
I feel like he used the ball as trick plays.
Oh, they got some.
call him
3 double passes. Already.
Yeah, you should probably call him. You should call him on Sunday.
All right, let's go to our boy Wayne. He's in Southie. Wayne, what's up, dude? How you doing?
What's going on, guys? What's up, Fourier?
What's up,
Luke?
What up, man?
Can I say hi to Ben? I want to talk about the Patriots, but let me just say one thing about the Red Sox.
Because
remember what I said to you, Lou? I said, they got to split one. They did that.
Yep.
And then I said, and then when they come home, they got to bury them like they're doing right now. They got to go out there tonight, bury them again, give them no hope. You're not going home to Houston. We're going to put you down right here, right now.
Like
that's
it.
What's going to happen.
I like it.
All right.
Now with the
Patriots, Wayne. This is what I want to say. Number one. Why would you put a bum, and this guy is a bum, on Mills after we just got the score? We just tied the game up, right? Right? We tied it up in overtime. We're about to go in, and what happens? The guy, CeeDee Lamb, the one guy that you want to have covered, he's wide open. He's 25 yards away from friggin' Mills. What was that all about? Number two, they need to protect Mac. They're not protecting him. Hey, by the way, if you're out there, Kraft, and you can hear me with all your millions, can you go buy a new offensive game, please? An offensive line? Because we need one. They're bums. No wonder why the kid keeps getting hit. I like, and what the kid's doing, I have no problem. I want him to keep opening up and throwing it deep enough because he's starting to believe in himself, and that's what we need. We need a quarterback who's going to believe in himself.
Appreciate it. All right, listen. Couple of things. Number one, was that the first game that you could seriously say, he's talking about Jalen Mills, where you really saw no Steph Gilmore? And it was just like, because CeeDee Lamb was just abusing him. He wasn't even close to him at times. Wilson's the other one. I thought J.C. Jackson and Cooper for the most part, right?
Yeah, they played a lot of zone.
They just thinned you out.
It was a lot of zone. It was not as much man coverage this time. They played a lot of zone. I think what most impressed me is they were dropping 7 and 8 guys, and Dak was still buying time and finding guys wide open. And then when they didn't play zone, they were doing big blitzes and leaving all their cornerbacks one-on-one. So you're hoping that the pass rush gets home and that you don't have to worry about the one-on-one matchups, but the Cowboys blocked it up, and Dak was able to kind of float the ball out there to his guy. So I don't blame Jalen Mills. CeeDee Lamb's an excellent player, and I thought the cornerbacks like kept up for most of the game. I did not think the defense was this massive problem. I think the problem was they were gassed, like I said, because the offense couldn't stay on the field.
I kind of felt like there was one, like we were talking before about Dak rolling out to his right. And, or, you know, wherever he was rolling, there was maybe somebody underneath he could make that pass. But every time he rolled out, it was like for 15 yards. Like, he was looking downfield.
Yeah.
And they were converting, you know, they got a first down on a first and 20. Yeah. The third and 25 play, they picked up 24.
At one point in the telecast when he rolled out, and I think they even talked about it, Romo was like, well, he's got this guy here wide open short. But then actually, he looks deeper. He's got this guy wide open. And I don't know, when you say like they were good, or you know, in zone a lot, but they found the holes. There's some guys wide open.
There's another play where he rolled out because he doesn't scramble to run, he scrambles to throw. And there was a check down. I think it was Ezekiel Elliott, and he was wide open. And somebody was like in no man's land. He like there was a route behind him, and he faded to the deeper route, even though there was somebody there. So there was all this space. I was like, why aren't you covering him? Like, why are you backing up? All they've been doing all day is catching the ball and then running for 10, 12 extra yards because nobody's around them.
Yeah. All right, listen, this hour, Maloney and Foyer is brought to you by the lawyers at Teen Malone. Foyer said something earlier about Cora dealing with E-Rod. And is it starting to get to the point, given the success this guy's in the postseason, that we dare say in Cora we trust? Do it next.